You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Victory Points. I'm Becca Scott, and this is a podcast about people who love tabletop games interviewing other people who love tabletop games about tabletop games they love and other stuff about tabletop games. Welcome to our guests. Today I have Aaron Rose Widener and Dean D'Onofrio, the co-creators of Meeple People, a web series about a group of friends that love to game and sometimes messy love interests get in the way.
Sure do.
Welcome. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, this is really
great.
Very
excited to be here.
Oh my gosh. I'm excited to have you. Oshi the dog is very excited
to meet Oshi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's usually pretty calm, but today he is feeling ready to pod. You don't get a mic. All right. So let's see. We'll get to Meeple People, but today we're going to talk about a little bit about the different type of gamers that are out there, how they're portrayed in the media, and maybe what we'd like to see portrayed differently. And then we'll talk about some of our favorite games and what y'all are playing right now. But first, Aaron Rose, I want you to tell me about how you got into gaming, or was it through this web series?
So I am not Dean D'Onofrio, who is like an amazing gamer, but what I am is like I loved playing like really like Monopoly as a kid. I like loved Monopoly as a kid, and I love like the very light games as a kid.
No, Monopoly is not a light game.
I know, especially if you're the banker, but which I always had to be.
See, now you're a hardcore strategy gamer. Yeah. You just don't know it.
Yeah. Then, like when I met Dean, and like I started learning like a little bit more, like Catan, and you know, just different things. Like, I mean, I'm sorry, that's another light game. But like, then I started playing.
Well known is not to be confused with light.
Yeah. Well,
I think she's underselling herself. She had played a number of gateway games prior to meeting me.
Yep.
She and her husband.
Yep.
And she came to my game night. I have a weekly game night. We play 3 or 4 times a week. We're just obsessed.
Yep.
She came to one.
Yep.
And we introduced her to some other games. And then she said, why isn't this, like, why don't we write this? Why don't we write a series about this?
Yep. Yeah. Because I think what was so interesting was that there were so many board games that I had never heard of too. Like even though like I had played around with some games that weren't like super entry level games, but then I like, you know, my whole world kind of exploded and I was like, this is so fun, so interesting. And it was just fun to learn and do them. And so so then when I saw Dean's Game Night, I was like, this would be a great show. Like we had basically, I had auditioned for Dean for his series of one acts that he does. So he does a series of one acts that he writes and directs like every year. Basically.
Well, Dean, tell me about that.
Yeah.
Tell me about your one acts, because that's, I assume, how you two met. Was you were cast in one of these?
That is right.
Great.
So I'm a writer. I've always been a writer. Written spec scripts, TV stuff with Aaron Rose here. But I always like to do theater. And I have a series of comedy one acts that I write, and then I put them on just to see that immediate audience reaction to the writing. And it's fun and it's exciting to work with actors. It's just fantastic. Cast her in something a few years back. She was amazing. And she was like, why don't we write something together? And that's kind of how mm-hmm. that started.
Oh, and tell me about your game night. You said, or game nights, plural. You yeah. said 3 to 4 a week. That is ambitious.
I know, it's crazy.
No, it's something crazy to be very proud of. I'm sure a lot of our listeners have at least one. Several I know have many per week. I don't know how you do it. Explain to me the logistics here.
I started hosting game nights back in 2004. When I discovered the hobby, when I really discovered first party games, and then somebody told us about Settlers of Catan, and then Ticket to Ride, and then it snowballed from there. So I decided to put together like-minded people, friends of mine that I already had who liked games, and then we met new people. We did, you know, we posted about meetups and stuff like that. And every few years, we add to the group. We add new people to the group. And we play every weekend. And it's just grown and grown to this awesome group. We've become like family.
So
we
do things outside of the group. So you have multiple tables going.
It's gotten to the point where a friend of ours, of someone in the group, bought this beautiful tabletop.
Ooh.
You know, that we put over my table and I just leave it there. And then I bought a bunch of card tables. So on Saturday, when we have a bigger group, you know, like maybe 10 to 15 people, we'll have like three different tables set up. And then we'll get together to do like one in the living room, like one big party game, you know. It always changes, you know. And actually, the board game Barrage guys, had Kellen on here.
We did.
They met at my game night. They are...
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I listen to their podcast all the time. I think it's a great podcast.
Oh, that podcast is amazing. Yeah. I think everyone should listen to it. Those guys, and not just because I know them, but they're really good. They know what they're talking about, and they're funny. Yeah. But anyway, so they all met at my game night, and they still come.
So you created Board Game Barrage, some might say.
No, I did not. I just want to say to the world, Kellen and Neelan and Mark, I did not create anything.
You owe him, is what he's trying to say. You owe
this
Dean.
This is the last thing that Kellen wants to hear. No. I just meant to say that they are frequent.
And I think what's funny is Neelan, because like Dean has known Neelan for like years and years and years, is that Neelan was actually part of our test audience when we did Meeple People originally. We actually did focus groups.
Yes.
Like we did so many focus groups to like change around some of the storylines and just see how it worked for
everything.
There's
your marketing background coming into play.
And
she's a genius with all of that.
And so Neelan was one of like our focus group.
Yeah.
Which was like super fun. Input.
Well, before we get into the nitty gritty of the web series, let's talk about what Meeple People is, what the inspiration. Obviously, you came to Game Night and you said this is a show. Dean, why didn't you think of this before, you writer that has Game Nights?
I know. Well, I always thought it would be fun to do something, but it was Aaron Rose that said, why don't we do it in this way and make it a series? Yes. So anyway.
But you know what? You did write a one act that had like was about video gamers.
There was a one act where they were playing a party game.
Yeah, okay.
And that was kind of a popular one.
Oh, right. Yeah, that was a good one.
I like really awkward, dark comedy. I like that uncomfortable kind of comedy, right?
Yeah.
Which I think you can tell from, and this is what we were writing with Meeple People. But I also wanted to make something that would be... I wanted it to be a love letter to the board game community. I wanted it to be something that other gamers like myself could look at and say, yes, I recognize that. Oh, yes, maybe we're poking fun at ourselves here, or we're showing the love of games here. And that's for me. That's for us. And this is something I can enjoy. Maybe it's not for everybody, right? But, you know, it's something that I wanted to provide to the community. Yeah.
Okay, so we haven't yet done it. Let's give the elevator pitch, whoever would prefer to do it. Okay. Aaron Rose.
So Meeple People is about a group of board gamers who are just trying to find their people. They've come together every night for years to play board games. And then they get this guy who comes to their game night, Brad. Who they're not super excited about. They've had him in a couple times and he's just been... not a super team player in a lot of different ways, but then they have to invite him because his roommate Emily becomes the crush of the main guy, Aaron. So,
which is played by you. You are the Emily.
So I play Emily. Yeah.
Amazing.
So the idea is that they're not very welcoming to him at the very beginning. They're a little snobbish about it.
Yep.
And the idea over the course of the series, and in fact, today, the last episode drops of the first season, it's about... first impressions and how they can be wrong.
Yep.
And it's about how you should allow new people to come into your group and you should be a little bit more tolerant.
Yeah.
And you should not be a dick about it.
Don't be a dick, people.
Right.
And I also think like what's kind of funny is like, so like my best friend, we always have this joke, like we actually did a play together in college and we hated each other. Like we hated each other. We thought like the other one was so horrible. We just like, she was so sweet and wonderful. And I was like, this cannot be real. But she is actually like genuinely like the sweetest, most wonderful person.
It.
Yeah, never trust it. But like to this day, we are still best friends. And I am like, we don't live in the same city, but like she is like my dearest, bestest friend in the entire world. So I think like it is about like you find people sometimes in like the most unexpected ways that maybe you don't necessarily have an immediate connection to or you don't even like at the beginning, but then they become your people. And I think that's what's so interesting. And that's what's so cool about board games is it does bring people together in that way.
This is what happened to me. My best friends, who are still my best friends for many, many years, were people who loved to go out and party and they loved to go to clubs. That's not my scene. I went because these were my friends.
Yeah.
I finally decided, you know what? I want to do what I want to do. And I found my people. I found my friends through the board game community.
Yep.
And some of those people are now, most of those people are now my closest friends as well.
Yeah.
And it's because of this hobby that we share.
Absolutely. And I think a lot of us hardcore board gamers love to find our friends that way. And it's something we've talked a lot about. But the idea that I'm interested in is this idea of gatekeeping and how that really just ends up hurting people's perception of the hobby and perception of you. Because when I've watched the series, and I actually like Brad the most as a character. He's very eager and kind and just wants to play. And to me, that's someone that I'd love to game with. Someone that no matter the outcome, they're positive about it, which is a hard place to get to as a gamer. I find some people can be a little hardcore and bitter about the results, myself formerly being one of those people and having, I think, grown a lot in that regard. So, and the main character, Aaron, is a little bit that gatekeeper sensibility is now something that I'm a little bit repelled by. So was that kind of the intention to have the antagonist of the main character be so likable, or is that something that just kind of comes with the actors too?
Well, no, we want everyone to like Brad, and we love Brad, and he has from the fans so far, he has become one of the most popular characters because of what you're saying. I think we wanted Aaron to be more likable. We definitely wrote him to be more likable, but in the execution, and this is on me as a director, I think that he did come off a little, not as likable as we would have liked. But, you know, at the same time, it goes back to the learning of the lessons by the end. Again, the episode today that drops was sort of, we'll touch on that a little bit. It softens Aaron, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's sort of the point.
Yep.
Were there other lessons that you learned as a director in this process?
About every time I direct.
Shape actors?
Every time I direct, I learn something new. Every time.
Yeah.
I'll never stop learning. We're always learning about how to be more efficient with our projects. We have many projects, TV projects that we put together and stuff.
But Dean is an amazing director. I think one of the things that like I love about Dean as director is that he's so open and focused on the actors. So like I think it's something that, you know, when we did the plays together originally that I really appreciated was that he would just zero in on you, just zero in on you as an actor and just like receive what you were giving. And I think like not a lot of directors do that, like where a lot of directors just have like their incredible, like specific vision and don't allow actors to do their thing. And he allows actors to do that, but at the same time is able to tweak it and just be a fantastic receptacle for that. So, you're amazing. You're
That's
an amazing
a really
director.
Nice compliment because I find that in acting, but also in life, one of the greatest skills is listening and not just listening with your ears, but listening with every part of yourself and being able to internalize what the other person is doing physically and sort of quote unquote listening to what they're doing physically by observing it and taking it in. And so that's a really nice compliment.
I'm more interested in working with actors than I am with the camera.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So
yeah.
That's
there
one
are
thing
two
that I learned.
Types
about.
Of directors.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not as much of a camera director, but I learn every time I do a new thing. I learn.
Yeah.
Well, because you come from a background of theater,
no camera. I actually come from a background of film.
Oh, really?
But I've never been one that really had a knack for the camera directing. You know, I was much more interested in directing actors, and I think that's why I gravitated eventually toward theater.
Yeah, it is definitely that medium. Yeah. That's interesting because so many people go the other direction of. I studied theater and then I got into film.
Right. Yeah.
because it's more of a results-oriented, perhaps.
What about you in terms of theater? Have you done theater?
Oh, well, I do have my Bachelor's of Fine Arts. No, sorry. It's just a BA, not a BFA in theatrical performance. But yeah, moved. Like, that's why I moved to LA, was to act. And then I found out, oh, it's way more fun to play board games all the time.
Talk about them.
Yeah. For that's sure. Awesome. Yeah, drama's hard.
It's hard.
I saved that for class. all right. So we're going to take a little break. And then there's so much more I want to talk to you guys about what you're playing recently, what I've been playing, and more about sort of the types of players that you come across and that you guys have archetyped in your show.
Cool.
So we're going to take a quick break. Welcome back to Victory Points. I'm here with Aaron Rose Widener and Dean D'Onofrio, who are the creators of Meeple People, the web series. We say that for all the people joining us on NPR who come in halfway through the podcast.
That's right. Hello, NPR.
Yeah. whoever's skipping to halfway through the podcast just to hear me reintroduce, what are you doing? It's also my best fresh air impression.
Oh, nice.
All right.
Terry, take it away.
Terry, gross. So I was wondering, in your childhood, what was the kernel of this? Right. That really, I heard that Terry Gross records her podcast with her eyes closed and sitting in a dark booth.
Oh, my gosh.
I like that. To fully focus.
Yeah, good for her.
The auditory.
So she's not looking at people that she's interviewing.
Why waste your eyes when you're just using your mouth and ears? You know,
but she's so good at what she does.
You can really focus. You can really listen. You can really take it in.
Exactly. Listening with your whole body. There you go. Okay, so I want to talk a little bit about Dean's collection. So,
oh my gosh! Yes.
How many games do you think you have right now? I think we saw them featured in. Was the set of Meeple People your place?
It was actually her old apartment, and we shuttled like four carloads of games over there.
Yeah,
and our art department, you know, had to
figure out where to put them all.
Did you have
the classic IKEA gamer shelf? What is it?
The Kallax.
I now have the Kallax myself.
Yep.
I've just moved on from my Kallax. So it was a big day.
Yeah, that's an important step.
I needed a 7-foot tall bookshelf. Right. Is what I did.
Yeah,
that's much better. Yeah, even my Kallax, which is brand new, is like, I need more room. But what I do now is, I used to have a much larger collection. I have maybe about 150 games. I used to have much larger, but I realized, you know, I do math trades a lot. Again, thanks to Mark Posada of Board Game Barrage, who's the master of math trades. Anyone who has questions, he's the expert.
Wait, what is math trades?
A math trade. So a math trade is something you can find on BGG, where type in all the games that you want from your collection that you want to trade. Everyone else does that. Then there's a huge list. You pick from the list the ones that you're willing to trade, that you're willing to take, and you mark, like, these are the games I'm willing to give up for this game, and these are the games I'm willing to give up for this game. Then they do math. They do some hardcore math.
All the maths.
This is amazing.
They figure out who gets what so that it's as fair as possible and balanced as possible. So the game that you're getting,
it's kind of a pool. It's not just a one for one trade.
No, it's not a one for one at all. So you end up getting some games from a bunch of different people, and your games go out to maybe a completely different group of people.
This is genius.
Yes, and we do this. We now only do myself and Mark and some of our other friends. We only do it for the local math trade that happens at Strategicon here in LA.
That you were just at.
That I was just at Strategicon, which is the gaming convention.
Yeah.
And we meet up in this room, and there's like 50 people in this room calling out names, calling out usernames, you know, and we make our big trade. And there's also a virtual flea market where you can auction off your games.
That's so fun.
So I get rid of a lot of games that way that my group doesn't want to play anymore, that we're all over.
Yeah, I've got a cold to collection. It's been a while.
You really should do a math trade here locally. People would freak out to see you show up at the math trade at Strategicon.
Because you got recognized as Strategicon.
I got recognized as Strategicon for Meeple People.
Yeah. Oh, ooh, can my apples to apples be like in your high tier? I'll trade you for like
guess what? Somebody will want your apples to apples. Somebody will want it. Yes.
Not Bogdan.
I licked this particular
Not
box.
Not Bogdan.
I don't have it. I was mentioning the example of a game that is shat upon within Meeple People.
That is correct.
I personally love Apples to Apples. My group will not ever play it ever again. So, and I know so many people hate Apples to Apples.
Absolutely.
Like Bogdan from the show.
Yeah.
But I'm with Emily, our character. I like it. I don't mind it. I like it.
It's kind of fun. I also love that we got a comment on that. When that episode aired, that was like someone had to say it.
Someone had to say it.
The elephant in the room. The giant apple in the room. Right. I love this idea of math trades, and I feel like such a dum-dum that I don't deserve this podcast if I didn't know about math trades.
Let
what
me
am
tell
I doing?
You, it is fantastic. And then they have an a separate auction that's run like a normal auction where they auction. And that is fascinating. I would love to do a documentary series just filming the auction.
Why don't you?
It's so fascinating. To see all the different personalities and all the different people who are like dying to get these super rare versions, like the Russian Monopoly or something.
Out of print copies.
Yeah, they want the crazy version, like old games from like the 30s or something.
Yeah.
You know, it's really fun.
But you're not a collector in that vein.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, me neither. I want to play it. I don't want to collect it.
I want to play it until we're sick of it, and then I'm going
to
trade it.
I feel like you would have to have a lot of Calyx bookshelves.
You'd have to have a lot.
Like a lot.
I can
of
handle
Calyx
one.
To,
I can handle one.
But you're in the math trades games.
Thanks to Mark, I am all about the math trades.
So all you need is one Calyx, because I feel like
that's right.
When your collection has come to a point, like how many is too many games, would you say? Like, is three Calyxes time to maybe go to a trade?
I think everyone should do what they want. So if you want 1,000 board games,
Marie
Kondo
disagrees.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
That's right.
Well, do they bring you joy?
Yeah, that's true.
If you want wall-to-wall board games, you should have it. So now that a lot of my friends are buying their own board games and they're bringing it to the game night, I don't need to buy
You don't need to buy all of them.
Right.
I can play theirs.
Because you have friends who have games.
Who have games.
Well, yeah.
I used to be the only one. But now, you know.
Before buying a game, do you consult the regular attendees?
I do.
Because to make sure they don't have it or that they don't get it.
A, make sure they don't have it. If they come frequently enough, they're going to bring it. And B, are you guys willing to play it? Because I'm not going to play it with myself and my cat.
Yeah.
So I'm not for solo plays.
Oh, there's a game idea.
Yeah.
Listen, my developer friends.
Yeah, that's right.
Game for one player with cat.
Well, let me tell you, my cat offers his own version of an expansion for many games because he jumps onto the table and moves the pieces around. So we call it the cat expansion.
Yeah.
Oh, he wants to be part of it.
Yeah.
No, that's
so he's
good.
Like knocking things over.
That's great.
But yeah, so you were asking about...
How many is too many? But you said to each their own.
To each their own. Yeah. Everyone should do what they want.
Okay. Well, I disagree. I think there is a limit. 149 is the limit.
My gosh.
So, Dean,
I just went over.
Well,
so which one of his games do you want?
I'll burn one when I get home.
Which game are you looking for? Maybe he has
Feast
one.
Of Odin?
A Feast for Odin?
A Feast
I don't
for Odin.
Own. I
Great.
Love it.
Okay.
I don't own
well.
It.
Maybe you traded them.
That's right.
You can get it for it, right? You can source it.
Yeah, that's right.
And Aaron, have you started to collect it all?
I do. I mean, the thing, I have like so many multiple versions of Dominion. I have every like variation on Dominion.
Oh, wow.
To see Aaron Rose play Dominion, she is focused.
I'm so focused. And like, it's
you can't even talk to her and have a normal conversation. She is just in it.
And I can't I cannot play it with I cannot play it with my husband because
why not?
Like,
what kind of gamer is he?
No, it's me.
Oh, okay.
Like, we both are. We're both very competitive. So we just, like, do not have fun.
They can
playing
only
against
play
each other.
Cooperative games now.
So now we've only, like, so we actually really love Pandemic Legacy. Like, so we finished season one, and so we're on season two, and we've been in the middle of season two for a little while. But, like, that's what's fun for me is, like, now we're at least, like, okay, we can beat the game. But even in season one, I have to say, there were a couple moments where I was like, you're telling me what to do.
Right.
Like,
that's the problem.
That is not cooperative. You know, like, can I choose what the move is that I want to do?
Well, quarterbacking is a serious problem.
Yeah,
we've
serious
addressed
problem.
This issue before, but I think it's always worth addressing again because
what game is it? But there are games that solve that problem, I think, right?
Oh, what's
Spirit
what's
Island
an example?
Is one.
Oh.
Spirit Island.
You're doing your own thing.
Okay.
There's not much. You
tell me more.
Each player has so much to do in their own realm that it's not going to be easy to quarterback everybody.
Yeah.
You have
I
to
am
be a major douche
buy that
to really
today.
Wanna,
yeah,
getting
I'm
going to
buy it. Yeah. I just played It Evil Below from the op, which is really fun.
Okay.
They're just releasing it. I had a blast playing. It's so immersive, and I love the It films. Okay. I love the recent reboot.
You're into horror.
And
yeah.
the new one that's coming. Oh my gosh, it looks terrifying.
Yeah.
And I love a game that can make you feel horror. Like, speaking of legacy, yeah. the games, Betrayal,
yeah.
Legacy, to really feel that fear from a game is a really exciting thing.
Yeah.
But this is a cooperative game, and I have a serious problem with cooperative games for the quarterbacking
yes.
reason. And I have been known to yell at people, don't tell them what to do on their turn
yeah.
in
yeah.
a joking way, but then they get it. I'm serious.
Yeah.
You may only talk during your turn. That's my rule. Because I think most people are not going to have a good time if they're not the one person that was ordering everyone to go.
Right.
You know? Yeah.
Can I offer up? Letter Jam, which is a new cooperative game.
I saw it at Gen Con, but I didn't
love
get
it.
To play.
It's so good. And it's another one where it would be very difficult to quarterback because you don't know anything about your letters. So you have to rely on other people to make some decisions. So the talking that you do amongst the players is never devolves into, rah, rah, you do this, you do that. It's not like that. It's designed so that it's a little bit of a nicer, gentler play.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Letter Jam. So beautiful box. I love that it's just a strawberry on the cover. It looks sort of like the Inglourious Basterds game where you've got something stuck on your forehead that only other people can see and you can't see. So you have letter
it's
showing.
It's like Hanabi. If you've ever played Hanabi, it's another beautiful yeah. cooperative game. I don't know if you play that, but you have...
It's on my shelf.
You,
is that
you
the same?
Create, that's okay. So you create... let's say you create a five-letter word for the neighbor to your left. You take a bunch of letters and you create an easy five-letter word and you hand it to the player to your left. And then you get one. You can't see your letters. You mix up the letters so they're scrambled. And then you put one at a time, goes in this little thing that everyone else can see your letter but you.
Like a Scrabble tray, kind of, but giant.
Kind of, yeah. I can't think of the word right now, but each individual stand, like a little plastic stand.
Got it.
And then everyone else is taking turns trying to create a word out of all the other letters that includes your letters. And hopefully, based on the word they create, you know what your letter is. They can't tell you the word. They just say, Aaron Rose's letter is the number. This is the first letter. This guy is the second letter. Dean, yours is the third letter. And I'm like, well, it can only be a G or an N, maybe. So I'm taking notes. And whenever you think you know your letter, you move on to the next letter. And cooperatively, you're all trying to figure out your letters and then unscramble them to form a word.
Oh.
And you all win if you all figure out
Was that letters. The game that you were just playing?
I was just playing this with... A lovely woman that I'm dating.
Yeah.
And it was her first time at game night.
Oh, very exciting.
And I'm so excited to have her. But here's the difference between her and I. I was to her left. She gave me five letters that she created a word out of. At the end of the game, I've successfully unscrambled the letters. I figured all mine out. And I said, oh, roses. You gave me roses. How romantic. I was so excited because we're still in the new in the dating process. I said, roses. Amanda, how great. Roses. You gave me roses. She said, no. Sores.
You gave me sores.
I thought you were being romantic. She goes, no. No, no. I was giving you sores. I said,
she sounds like a blast. I love
yeah,
her.
Yeah, no, you know what? She's a horror writer. So obviously she's thinking of darker.
Sure. This
but
is the world
I
she
just
lives
thought,
in.
How great. I was like showing it off. Look, everybody, she gave me roses. No, she gave me sores.
That's nice. That's
oh,
nice.
Man.
Yeah.
And
she didn't even apologize.
Between Dean and
yeah.
Amanda.
Yeah, that's right.
Perfect compliment, it seems
yeah.
to me.
Yeah. It's like, all right, I'll take the sores.
I love you enough, or
from
I like you,
you
enough
yeah.
to take the
I'll take your sores.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so good.
But that game is fantastic.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. That reminds me of games one can't play with their husband. Can't play spelling games with my husband because he can't.
Oh.
He's very reliant on spell check.
Oh.
Yeah. And I love spelling games because
yeah.
the thing that really got me into the hobby, which is not, I don't know, if some people may...
Uh-huh.
put their nose up at this, but Scrabble. I'm obsessed
yes.
with Scrabble
yeah.
because
yeah.
I played it every single night in college. I'm
oh,
sure
fun.
People have never heard me say that before. I talk about my love of Scrabble a lot, but I never get to play anymore because some people have a block about spelling games. Have you ever
yeah.
felt this? Renegade has one called Spell Slingers. It's really fun twist
oh.
on kind of spelling
like
things.
I'd like to try
out.
That. I
yeah.
love a
yeah.
word game. I love a
yeah.
spelling game.
Yeah.
Have you ever played Crazy Words?
Crazy Words? No, tell me more.
Now, this is one that Kellen of Board Game Barrage had introduced to the group, and we play it all the time. It is fantastic. Everyone gets a secret category card. So it'll say like a cereal brand or a diaper brand or the name of a movie, right?
Sounds like Anomia.
Okay. Well, you get the okay, so far, yes. But you get this category card, and then you're given a bunch of letters. You're guaranteed to get a few vowels and then a bunch of consonants. And you have to create a made-up word. It can't be a real word that evokes the thing that you're trying to do, right?
What?
And then everyone turns their fake word around, and we mix up the category cards and put them face up, and it's kind of like you're trying to guess who – whose word goes with what category, and you get points for getting it right.
Oh, cool. And crazy words?
Crazy words with a K. It's like $4 at Walmart or something. It's like nothing. It's, it
oh,
costs
great.
Nothing to get.
Hidden gym.
Let me tell you, we laugh more with this game than any other game. And that's what really we love to do as a board game group. We love to laugh as much as possible. And we laugh so hard. And the Board Game Barrage guys, I keep bringing them up, but like Mark Posada is brilliant at this game. Because he makes just the best words that evoke, that are hilarious and evoke the thing. You know?
Yeah, what a great skill.
It's so good.
Oh, what that's a genius concept for a game.
Yeah.
And there's a podcast I listen to called Grammar Girl because I love grammar. And they're little like 5 to 10 minute episodes. And she has this segment, Mignon Fogarty. Her name's really fun to say, where she will have listeners call in and say a word that their family uses that is not a real word that has come into their family's vocabulary.
I need to listen to this.
Yeah, it's great. And it reminds me of gamifying that idea of what's something that feels like this should be the word for it. Sort of an onomatopoeia that you've made up.
Yeah.
It just feels right.
Yeah.
Have you heard Lexicon Valley?
No.
The podcast?
We're just going to talk about all our favorite podcasts on this podcast today. The podcast about podcasts.
It's about the origin of words.
Lexicon Valley.
And it's hilarious. And it's brilliant. And you can learn about the origin of just common words. Like, where did they come from? And why is the word one with a W sound? You know, it's the only O word. You know, it's just fascinating stuff.
Oh, I always say
like
Oni.
That. Oni.
I'm player Oni.
It should be Oni, but it's one. But anyway, we're diverging.
Yeah.
But it's a great podcast.
Are we though? Because you know, we're talking it's all together.
It's all together.
Yeah.
It's all nerdy.
Games.
You're right.
Yeah. It's all geeky.
All right. Now we're almost out of time, but I do want to talk about what kind of gamer do you think you are, each of you? Aaron? Rose? Aaron Rose.
That's fine. I think I'm not quite that Emily gamer. I'm more curious than I think Emily. Like, Emily is like a little resistant where she would rather, you know, go back to her historical books and all of that. But like, I am not as skilled, you know, as like a regular gaming group. But like, I'm so curious. I love learning games. Like, I think it's so fun. And I also love winning. So I think like that's part of it. Like, and we see a little bit of that with Emily. Like when she finally like nails Lewis and Clark, it's like, that's me. A little bit of me.
Well, she's a gamer now. She's into it now.
Yeah. You made a convert. Yeah. I see the
I'm
real
like
purpose.
I'm like the host archetype.
Yeah.
I love to host. I'd rather host than go to somebody's game night. I like bringing the people in, introducing them to each other. I like making sure everybody's got what they need and everyone's having a good time and introducing people to games. I love teaching games.
Now I don't have to do it for me.
Oh, that's you.
Yeah, that's me too.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
You said that so well.
If I'm not in the mood for a game, but somebody says, oh, I don't know that game, I'll play it because I can teach it.
Exactly. It's so satisfying.
It's so satisfying.
Watch people's eyes light up when you give them the gift of a game they enjoy.
That's right.
Yeah.
We used to hand out awards to each other at our game group. We called it the Boardies. And we would give each other awards
so
for best game explainer, best party game person.
Yeah.
And it was cool. We would like make like trophies and things like that. It was
That's
so fun.
Awesome. Yeah.
And Mark Posada, myself, Neelan, they've all won.
I think I was in one of them.
You were in one of them.
A couple of them, yeah.
Now, hold on.
We use ketchup as blood.
Ketchup is blood? Wait, what?
Wasn't there like, there was like a shooting and what? I can't remember. There was something that we
used.
There was
someone
over
there.
Oh, we used to make little, the boardies, we used to do little videos.
You like to prep up the like award. So every award gets a video.
Everyone in the games group would star in a cute little funny skit.
Yeah.
And I did one called The Explainer where I was really frustrated with Aaron Rose and some other gamers about having to explain. You know how when they don't pay attention, it's called The Explainer. And I eventually take out a gun and I'm like...
As explainers often do.
As explainers often do.
No, we love repeating ourselves 50 times because We just get to explain it over and over.
Yeah. I like explaining games, yeah.
Well, Aaron Rosendain, it's been such a pleasure to have you on. Tell people where they can find you and where they can find Meeple People.
Yeah, so on YouTube, Meeple People Comedy, and it's Likely Story Productions. And then on Instagram, Meeple People Comedy, and Facebook, Meeple People Comedy. So, yeah, thank you so much
and
for having me.
And you personally, if they want to follow you?
Aaron Rose Whitener. And
there's no following me.
And I, Dean's, ooh, so Dean's on Instagram. You're
yeah,
right.
I'm not really.
He dumbles.
No. don't look for me. I'm not there.
I'm not there.
I'm on Facebook. Say hi. If you're local to Los Angeles and you want to find a new games group and you want to meet some awesome people who
Dean
play
loves
games,
new people.
Please. Yeah, I love having new people over.
He actually really
All
loves
All right,
that. Yeah.
Open invitation yeah.
Open
into
invitation
Dean's home.
Anytime.
That's right.
Just got
We'd
a message him on Facebook. All right, well, thanks so much, friends, for listening to Victory Points. Make sure you tell your friends about this podcast. Tell them about it at the next game night, because word of mouth is how people find out.
Yes.
And so make sure you subscribe and like and, you know, rate us a 5 on iTunes. Even if you don't use iTunes, do it. Give us a 5. Okay, thanks for listening. Bye.